Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome to what is a Friday on the Zach Gelb Show. Almost just went football Friday, but it's not that time of the year. We welcome you in, whether you're listening to us across one of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 206, or the Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on the good old cesspool of Twitter or Instagram, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Really make sure you follow us on Instagram. I've been pumping out more content on Instagram and trying to grow the Instagram following. Twitter's in a good spot. We could have more followers, so make sure you follow us on Twitter. But Instagram, we're trying to push you there as well. So for the third time since I've been on the air, in the last 90 seconds or so, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, or on our network's account, at CBS Sports Radio. On this Friday, Ryan Tracicky riding shotgun with me. We'll be here all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, and then I'll probably have a bunch of beer after the show. We're coming to you live, as always, from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So when the schedule came out earlier this week, the Atlanta Falcons, and there's been a lot of trade speculation with Julio Jones. They put a graphic, though, out, and this is where we're going to start the show today. And they had not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six players on the graphic. So they have the schedule, and then you have six players. So I'm not going to go through every player, but Calvin Ridley was on it. Matt Ryan was on it. And here was another player that was on it. I'll give you one more. Younghoe Koo was on the graphic. The kicker. Who is a pretty popular kicker in Younghoe Koo? But guess who wasn't on it? Julio Jones. Now, is this a big deal? Maybe, maybe not. I did see that last year's graphic, Julio Jones was not on it either. But it is compelling to me that they didn't put him on the graphic this year with all the trade speculation as well. Now, is it a lock that Julio Jones gets traded? No. Is it a little bit misleading in what they did in the first round of the draft if Julio Jones does not get traded? Yes. Because when you draft Kyle Pitts, when you also have Calvin Ridley there, and you elect to restructure the contract of Matt Ryan, you would think, even though you have a new GM in Terry Fontenot and you have a new head coach in Arthur Smith, you would think you would go for it one more time, or maybe the next 2 years you'd be all in to see what else you could do in salvaging the rest of the career of Matt Ryan. However, with the salary cap situation that they're in, and nothing's going to happen until post-June 1 anyway, or won't be official until post-June 1, I would anticipate, and I would lean more on the side of that the Falcons are going to trade Julio Jones compared to that they're not going to trade Julio Jones. Because you may want to be true to your quarterback and true to yourselves. And you may go, oh yeah, we have the talent to go and get a playoff spot. But I don't think anyone expects Atlanta to make the playoffs this year. But when you bring back Matt Ryan and you don't draft a quarterback at four, and hey, we all think Kyle Pitts is going to be a generational and a tremendous player. When you don't take a quarterback at four, though, what's the purpose of having Matt Ryan on the roster then at this stage of his career? Isn't it to try to get back to the playoffs? Now, I don't think Matt Ryan will ever win a Super Bowl with the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think he's going to win a Super Bowl in this league. He had his opportunity. He was spotted a 28-3 lead, and they choked. Terrible play calling by Kyle Shanahan. Bad decision-making by Matt Ryan. And if you let the Patriots breathe, if you give the Patriots life, even when they were doing everything in that game to basically put them in the ground 8 feet under, you gave them an opportunity to continue to live, and they were like the Undertaker in that gif. They rose up, or rised up, as we'll use the Falcons saying, and they ended up kicking your tushy in overtime, and we all know what happened there. So when I sit here currently, where all the speculation is, now it's not just because of the graphic, but I would anticipate that Julio Jones is going to get traded. And could you maybe talk yourself into, well, we could still have a good team with Calvin Ridley, with Kyle Pitts and Matt Ryan. Sure. What is your defense doing, though? Like, there's a lot of teams that we could look at and go, okay, good offense. You look at the Cowboys, good offense. Is their defense going to be able to stop anyone? You look at the Falcons, with Julio Jones or not, and the offense would be better with Julio Jones, they should have a good offense. The offense shouldn't be the reason why they lose these games. You even look at Minnesota. Minnesota, who is usually known for their defense, last year their defense wasn't good. Minnesota, now you feel good about their offense. I don't feel great about Kirk Cousins. But that offense should be able to put up enough points. Who are you going to stop on defense? Like, who's going to step up on defense? So, if I'm the Falcons, you got a decision to make. You're going to be true to yourself, or are you going to try to talk yourself into one more run? Because if you're trying to talk yourself into one more run, can you lay out the path on how you're going to get there? You're not winning the division. Are you going to be a wild card team? Because, all right, four division winners. Then let's just say in the NFC West, it's the Seahawks. You're not better than the Rams. I don't think you're better than the third best team in the NFC West. I would still, in your own division, trust the Saints more than you. So maybe you're in the same tier of, I don't know, the Bears, the Vikings, teams that you really got to talk yourself into making the playoffs. So I want to know, is Atlanta building to try to get back to the playoffs as quick as possible, or are they building for that next chapter and that next era? And what they did in the draft, yes, you want to have Kyle Pitts. And I think they're going to be committed to Matt Ryan for this year and next year. In next draft, though, if they're picking early, I guarantee, like, if they have a top five pick, which I wouldn't anticipate, but let's say that it's a horrible year for them. They trade Julio Jones. Calvin Ridley gets hurt. Kyle Pitts gets hurt, too. Like, whoever it may be. It just totally blows up in their face. Then they could be picking in the top five. Like, if they are picking in the top five there, which I don't anticipate, then you're going to be taking a quarterback. Or maybe you're going to have to trade up if you're 15, 16, middle-of-the-pack type of team. So here's what I want to know from Atlanta. How serious are you to the rebuild right now? And how are you still trying to rebuild but also win? Because I think it was the Bears, right? The Bears said it. Oh, yeah, we think we could win now, but we're also building for the future. That doesn't really work for me. Because if you're building for the future, that means what you have right now is not good enough in your own mind. So what would be a good season this year for the Falcons? Like, at best, I see them being, if everything goes right, maybe a seventh seed. So the final wild card spot. So if I was Atlanta, I get what you had to restructure Matt Ryan. And maybe they would move on from Matt Ryan if they could have. But they had to restructure because they were in salary cap hell. But if you're telling me you're going to restructure Matt Ryan. He's going to be your guy for 2 years. It would make sense to keep Julio Jones. However, I think they are caught in the middle where some moves that we make, we have to restructure because we have to get some salary cap space. And then other moves, all right, we still have to open up space. We know that we're not a great team this year. So then we'll move on from that guy. Matt Ryan wasn't going to be the casualty here. Julio Jones, I think, will be. And when I currently sit here on the 14th day of May in the year of 2021, it would not surprise me for one iota if we get an announcement in June or July that Julio Jones is going to be traded. It has nothing to do with the Twitter post. It does make you, though, raise an eyebrow, because when you look at the face of the Falcons, right, you would think Matt Ryan would be on that. You would think Calvin Ridley would be on that. He was. Julio Jones was not. Youngway Koo, though, was. But that's where we are. So who could be some teams that would trade for Julio Jones? If you had to look, I put a bunch of teams together. Like, I'll give you like 8 to 10 teams, and I'll tell you if it's realistic or not. So I have a list here. The Jets. Julio Jones to the Jets. It makes sense for the Jets. I don't know if Julio Jones would be thrilled about it. Do this actually for me, Trace. Because I usually think about this for quarterback. I didn't think about it until now. Can you just see if Julio Jones has a no-trade clause in his contract? Because I know they just redid his contract a few years ago. I wonder if he has a no-trade clause in his contract. But if I'm the Jets, I would try to go get Julio Jones. You have a young quarterback in Zach Wilson. Your best wide receiver right now is Corey Davis. He's not a number one. You did draft Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss. But the Jets have a lot of salary cap space. And it's about $15 million would be the cap hit for Julio Jones this year. And the Jets have $25 million right now currently available in salary cap space. So you go make that move. I'm not saying that Julio Jones is jumping for joy over it, but it would make sense to go get your young quarterback a really good weapon. You see what the Bills did. The Bills last year, they went out and they got Josh Allen, who? Stephon Diggs. Kyler Murray. What did the Cardinals do? They got him DeAndre Hopkins. This could be a move, even though Julio Jones is older than those two players, where you're immediately getting your young quarterback a ton of help. I'll throw out one where I don't think it would happen. The only reason I'm bringing it up is because they have the salary cap space. Imagine if the Browns say, okay, we're going to go all in. You got Baker, Odell coming back from injury. You have Jarvis Landry, tight end room. You have Austin Hooper. You got Njoku. You got Bryant from FAU. You got Nick Chubb. You got Kareem Hunt. Can you imagine if the Browns said, you know what, screw it, we'll give up the second round pick? And that's also the value, too. Now, maybe Cleveland would give up a first round pick. I don't know if Julio Jones is going to go for first round pick. I saw Peter King say it's probably going to be a two. Like, that's what is probably fair at this point. And it's wild. I think it was Florio pointed this out. He pointed out that, and this is just such an interesting note, Belichick once traded a two for Mohamed Sanu to the Falcons. The Falcons may only get a two back for Julio Jones as what it would be the main center focus point of that deal. I don't think the Browns would do it, but if the Browns did, that's what could separate them when we look at who's trying to be the second best team in the AFC. The Browns could be a case for them to win the division right now. If the Browns go get Julio Jones, I think they would be a lot of people's pick over the Ravens. Maybe even people would go as far to say that the Browns would be better than the Bills. You need to try to catch up with Kansas City. And you got the four best teams in the AFC right now. Kansas City, Buffalo, in no order, Cleveland and the Ravens. If you go get Julio Jones and the Browns, they could be in a championship game this year without him. That would really saying we're doing everything we can to go win. How about the Chargers? Now, they have Keenan Allen. They have Mike Williams. They have $20 million in salary cap space. Go get Julio Jones and add him with those two other wide receivers. Can you imagine trying to defend Julio Jones, Mike Williams, and Keenan Allen? Whew, that would be tough. All right, I got a few more that it's feasible salary cap-wise. Colts. Your team, Trace, right? You got Carson Wentz. T.Y. Hilton's back. Michael Pittman had an okay rookie season. I think he'll be good in year number two. But T.Y. Hilton's not a number one wide receiver anymore. Go get Julio Jones. That'd be a nice addition for the Colts. That would be what puts them over the top against Tennessee and before season predictions. Like right now, I think you can make a case for the Colts. I think it's close, though, between the Colts and the Tennessee Titans. If the Colts go get Julio Jones, that would put them over the top. How about the 49ers? Jimmy G, Trey Lance, whoever's going to end up playing, it will eventually be Trey Lance at one point. You get Kittle, you have Julio Jones. That would be fun seeing Kyle Shanahan once again getting a chance to go work for Julio Jones. Now, I'll give you some other teams. Pats have about $60 million in salary cap space, so it's a little bit tight. Patriots could be an option, though. And we saw what Bill did this year, going out and getting Jonnu Smith, getting Hunter Henry, bringing in Kendrick Bourne, bringing in Nelson Aguilar. Go get Julio Jones, that's A-okay with me. Now, I'll give you two teams that they'd have to do some work. They're above the salary cap. When you look at, they have $13 million in space, they're below it. And they are also, I'll give you the other team, they only got about 9.7. So they have to do some work. These two teams, though, would make sense. The Dolphins and the Ravens. Ravens, they got Rashad Bateman. I hope he could be a number one wide receiver. But Julio Jones is a known number one wide receiver. Now, the Dolphins, I think, are a compelling one. Because you want to have put two in the best position to succeed this year. You'll get Will Fuller. You just drafted Jalen Waddle. If you could go out and get Julio Jones, add him in with Mike Gesicki, that could be a fun offense. Maybe make the playoffs this year. Now, I'll give you two teams that would make sense, and I would love to see it happen, but they don't got a shot because of where the salary cap is. Seattle, you line up with the two wide receivers that you currently have in Lockett and Metcalf, and you add Julio Jones. That would be fun. And then the reason why I say Green Bay, they only have $2.6 million in salary cap space. That would be fun, though, for Green Bay because you would have Adams, you'd have Jones, then you'd have Julio Jones. Still, you have two Joneses, Aaron Jones and Julio Jones, and you would get a known actual commodity for Aaron Rodgers to complement those other two players instead of hoping that it's Amari Rodgers, instead of hoping that it's going to be Alan Lazard or Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Do you think Julio Jones is going to get traded? I do before the start of the season. Where is he going to land? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Now, there's some injury questions about Julio Jones. Let's be fair on that. I still think he's a very good wide receiver in this league, and I would trade for him if it's going to either help my young quarterback or it could maybe put me over the top in my division. We'll take a timeout when we come on back. Portland, the Lakers, and the Mavs are trying to avoid the playing game.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. You can think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. So NBA playoffs right around the corner. Now, you have an interesting wrinkle to the format this year. Now, we saw it a little bit last year, but it was like all different because you had the playing, well, you had the games leading, you had the bubble, and then it was, all right, are you within four games to have that 8-9 playing game and all that? It didn't happen in the East. It happened in the Western Conference. And this year, we know what it is. If you're in the top 10, you're not officially in the postseason, but you have a chance to get into the top 8. So 7 is going to play 8. The winner of that is the 7 seed. 8, then whoever is the loser there will go on to play the winner of the 9-10 game. And then that whoever wins that game then will be the 8th seed. So in the Eastern Conference, I don't know about you, Trace. In the Eastern Conference, do you care at all about who's going to be in the playing game? Like, I have, you know, the Celtics, they have no juice. They're 35-35. No Jaylen Brown. That team has been terrible this year. I know the Hornets are a nice story because of LaMelo Ball, but that's not going to really make me want to watch them. The Pacers, they're 33-37, and I don't care if the, you know, I know that the Wizards have Westbrook and Bradley Beal, but I don't care if the Wizards end up advancing or not. I think the East, it's a total bore. Do you agree or disagree?
I am actually intrigued by the Wizards. They are playing some great, great basketball. I don't think it's going to translate to a first-round upset. I'm just interested to see, you know,
you use
Rush,
the word great
Bradley
too easily.
Beal.
Use the word great too.
And they've been actually playing really well.
Yeah, but still, they're 32 and 38.
I mean, I get it. I get it. And I said, they're not going to upset anybody, but I'm just interested. That's a team that, out of the four, I think I'd care about the most in seeing advancing.
Wait, let me ask you this. Does Boston have any chance of taking down the Sixers and the Nets?
No.
If that's 1-2, no. So then I think the same answer is going to be the case for the Hornets, Pacers, and Wizards.
Oh, I'm with you. Yeah, I don't think any of these.
Will any of those teams win more than a game against the Sixers or the Nets? I don't think so. Do I think if the Sixers go up against the Celtics or the Sixers go or the Nets, whoever go up against the Celtics, Hornets, Pacers, or Wizards, do any of those series go to six games? The only way is if the Sixers and Nets are resting people and they just don't care because they know they're going to win the series. You think any of those teams have potential to go to six games with either of the Sixers or the Nets if they do get the one and the two?
The Wizards have the players, too. I can't sit here and predict, especially with Bradley Beal's health. I can't predict that.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen.
They have the most potential.
Russell Westbrook's going to have a great game, right? Triple-double, and they're going to lose.
Oh, well,
they're going to lose.
Yeah,
they're going to lose. You know, he'll have a triple-double in three of those games, and 100%. Maybe they'll win one. Now, in the Western Conference, they're getting saved in an idea that, quite frankly, I hate. I do not like this play-in tournament. Now, you like it, right? I'm pretty sure you're on the side of this play-in tournament.
I have changed my tune, excuse me, 180 degrees. Wow, I killed. Yeah. I am now.
No, you
a
make
big
sense.
Fan. Sorry.
You butchered a little just, bit, but you make
yes.
sense.
I was with you. I hated it. Now that we're here, I love it because of all the drama and how it actually makes the regular season relevant.
Is there really that much drama?
Yeah. I mean, you have almost every team. Now, 2 days left, some teams have clinched, but I mean, the last week of the season, almost every team is fighting for something. Yeah, it's. I mean, every game has playoff intensity.
Yeah, okay, so let's just say if you had your traditional format, right? 1-8 right now. And I get it. You're trying to avoid what is the playing game, which would be you have to be one of the top six teams. Let's just say the Lakers are in the playing game. Are the Lakers going to miss out on the postseason in its entirety? Which I mean being 1-8. Even if they lose to the Warriors in the first game. There's no way that the Lakers, unless if LeBron can't play and Anthony Davis can't play, are going to lose to the Grizzlies or the Spurs. So this has been my problem and my gripe with the play-in tournament. Is it's they're making a whole lot of something really out of nothing. Like, does it add a little bit more intrigue in the West? Because you got guys like Luka Doncic, you got Damian Lillard, you got LeBron James, yes. You got Steph Curry. So you got the big names. But in the Eastern Conference, Jason Tatum, good name. LaMelo Ball, good name. Pacers, you know, Wizards have good names, but none of those teams are actually any good. So we're making this whole big fuss. Oh, who's gonna, who's gonna avoid the seven in the Western Conference? But they actually have good players in the East. It kind of is like what happened last year, where they didn't even get to the playing game because the 8 and 9 weren't within four of them. So in the West, it works because the matchups are there. In the East, my whole thing is that the matchups really aren't there. And let's be real, in the Eastern Conference. And I know Miami's playing well, so give Miami credit. The Knicks have had a heck of a season, and the Hawks really turned things around with Nate McMullen. But here's the thing. There's only one team in the Eastern Conference outside of the big three, Sixers, Nets, and Bucks, that put, I don't know if I want to say fear, but makes one of those top three teams actually sweat. And it's not the Hawks. It's not the Knicks. It's not the Celtics. But it's Miami. And I've been down on Miami going into this season. Miami is hot at the right time. They won 4 in a row, 8-2 in their last 10. Jimmy Butler is an absolute killer. Bam Adebayo is a heck of a player. Now Victor Oladipo is out for the season. If you look at the Eastern Conference, here's what you want. If you are not a Knicks fan, if you're not a Hawks fan, if you are just a basketball fan, and let's say you're a fan of the Warriors, so it doesn't really matter what happens in the Eastern Conference. For the second round, and I'm going to assume the Sixers get the one, and the Nets or Bucks, whichever order you want to go, will be 2-3. Here's what you want to see. You want to see the Nets and the Bucks play in the second round, and you want to see the Sixers and the Heat. Those four teams that they're in the second round will have a heck of a second round. Because the Heat could beat the Sixers. and the Nets and the Bucks is an absolute coin flip. And we have to see where the Nets are going to be at from a health standpoint. Now, in the Western Conference, here is what I do find intriguing because of the format. We don't know yet, with a game or two left in the regular season, we don't know who's going to avoid being in that seven spot. Now, if I had to make a prediction, if I had to look at the schedules, the Mavericks are not going to be in the seven spot. If the Mavericks are in the seven spot, they just did not care. They did not have a pulse, and it was a catastrophe in these next two games. You got Toronto and Minnesota. So I'm going to think they win one of those games. They'll probably win both. They're currently 41-29. That would put them at 43-29 in the season. So I would be stunned if we're here on Monday and we're talking about the Mavericks being in the playing game. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because Portland did lose last night. And you look back at how that all did go down with Booker getting fouled and all that. Portland right now is 41-30. Portland does have the tiebreaker over the Lakers from a few days ago. Portland plays the Nuggets. That game could go either way. And I don't even know how the Nuggets are going to approach it. But if they win that game, they're good. They have 42 wins. But if they lose that game, they could be in the playing game as the seventh. Because if they lose, then they're 41-31 to end out their season. The Lakers, they have the Pacers and the Pelicans. Now, LeBron is expected back. We'll see what the health is of Anthony Davis. I would think that the Lakers are going to beat both the Pacers and the Pelicans. Remember, the Pelicans now out of it, and Zion was already hurt anyway. So the Lakers should have 42. So what it all comes down to for me, because you would agree, right, Trace? The Mavericks are not going to be in the playing game. You would be stunned if the Mavericks are the seven when they have Toronto and Minnesota, correct?
I'm with you. Very stunned.
All right. So let's just be real here. Let's throw them out. Portland and the Nuggets. That game really could go either way. And I wonder how the Nuggets will approach it, too, because of what happened to Jamal Murray a few weeks ago. But then you have a little bit of a layoff. It's the last game before you get your playoff game. So it would not surprise me if the Nuggets actually try to go win that game. Now, I don't think you have to really push it in the fourth quarter, but it would not shock me if they win that game. But if Portland loses, you would think then that the Lakers should be able to beat both the Pacers and the Pelicans, correct, Amundo?
Yes.
So then the Lakers would get in and would avoid the playing game. But if Portland wins, then it's over, because the Mavericks are going to get probably two more victories. Portland would get 42, and the best the Lakers could do is 42, and they don't have the tiebreakers. Let me ask you what you'd rather see. Would you rather see Portland with Damian Lillard going up against Steph Curry? And it's not a lock, by the way, that the Warriors are the eight, because the Warriors and the Grizzlies have two more games left. It doesn't matter their next game, their final game. It's 1-1 in the season series. Their final game is Warriors and Grizzlies going up against one another. Whoever wins that game is going to get the eighth seed. The other will be the ninth seed. So let's just say that the Warriors win the final game of the season up against the Grizzlies, because it makes it more fun here. Would you rather see Dame Dolla Time up against Steph Curry? Because that would actually have juice in that 7-8 game. Or would you rather see, which also another game that would have juice, LeBron up against Steph Curry? Who do you want to see in that 7-8?
Definitely the Lakers.
I'm with you, too. I'm 100% with you as well. But that's what saves those matchups, with it's between really Portland and the Lakers to see who gets to the 7. That's what saves this play-in tournament. Because the East, boring, who cares, pedestrian. In the West, even if I don't get LeBron up against Steph, assuming that the Warriors win and they get the 8, even if I don't get LeBron up against Steph, my consolation is what? Damian Lillard up against Steph? That's pretty good. And then remember, whoever loses then would get the Grizzlies or the Spurs. So whoever wins that. Now that's where the Western Conference saves this playing game. Because you could get two of those guys in the playing game, either Damian Lillard or LeBron James. You're going to have Steph in there too. And then whoever loses, you know, in those matchups, whichever way it plays out, they'll still be alive then for the next game to try to get in as the eighth seed. Adam Silver should be thanking Damian Lillard, LeBron James, and Steph Curry. That's where we're at on this one. We'll take a timeout when we return on the Zach Gelb Show. Let's examine the Bears schedule and the Patriots schedule. We know Trevor Lawrence is going to start week one. We know Zach Wilson is going to start week one. Jimmy G probably starts week one for the 49ers. But you look at the Bears. People are making a push for Justin Fields to start week one. I don't think Mac Jones will be starting week one. I think it's going to be Cam. But when will Mac Jones and when will Justin Fields see the field if they're not starting week one? We will examine the Bears and the Patriots schedule.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Everybody on our team should be striving for a starting job. And if you're not, then there's no reason for you to be here. So, of course, I'm going to do everything that I can to, you know, get that starting job. And, you know, it's really, you know, it's not up to me. You know, Coach Nagy, he has a set plan on, you know, my development and stuff like that. But I'm just going to, you know, work hard and keep my head down and just keep grinding it out every day.
That was the quarterback of the Bears. Should be QB1, Justin Fields. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I really hope he's starting week one. Like, if you're the Bears, you're just delaying the inevitable. I don't see why you would start Andy Dalton. And I understand trying to coddle a young quarterback. I do find it comical. And you're kind of in this camp, Trace. Now, I know that you believe that Justin Fields should be starting week one. But with a lot of these quarterbacks, you're like, coddle for most of them. We never talk about that for any other position. Wide receivers, we don't coddle. Cornerbacks, we don't coddle. Defensive linemen, we don't coddle, which they could also be players that get put on the field, maybe quote-unquote, in your crazy thinking, way too early, and then their confidence could be ruined. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, the magnitude of the quarterback getting ruined is a lot greater than the defensive lineman. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I understand that. I do, because it affects so many. It affects one total side of the ball. But you do think that Justin Fields should be starting week one. Absolutely, 100%?
100%, as I love to say.
Where's your confidence level? Not in that he will be starting week one, but that the Bears are going to do the right thing.
Oh, boy.
Like, if it's up to Justin Fields, for example, if Justin Fields, and I don't know what the there's going to be three preseason games. We think that's going to be the case. If Justin Fields, though, plays well in the three preseason games, and if you hear positive reports about him in training camp, honestly, it's really a whole lot of nothing. I don't think there's going to be a lot that Justin Fields could show in the next few months that make the Bears go, wow. Like, oh my goodness gracious, we found out something else. They know what quarterback they're getting. They traded up to go get this guy. They gave away a future first and other picks. They think he's going to be a really damn good quarterback. If they're not starting Justin Fields come week one, and I think it goes both ways. I don't think he's going to show you anything in the next few months that makes you say, wow, like we got to start in week one. I don't think he's going to show you anything where it's, oh yeah, we can't start in week one. Your opinion of what he is right now is not going to change that drastically over the summer in the next few months. And quite frankly, if I was running the Bears, I don't even know if I'd do a competition. I think I would say, sorry, Andy Dalton, we paid you $10 million. Zip your lips, shut your mouth, sit on the bench, and get this kid ready. Justin Fields is the future. Justin Fields is my golden ticket. Justin Fields is going to save my job. And I would play Justin Fields come week one, and I wouldn't even think about it. Because your fans want to see him on the field week one. And let's be real, the players in the locker room also want to see him on the field come week one. And you know what I kind of would hope would happen? This would actually be fun. Where, all right, let's say he plays well in preseason. And he's impressing people in training camp. Imagine they don't start in week one. The defense that already hates the offense is going to hate the offense even more. Because last year they knew that Nick Foles wasn't the answer. They knew that Mitch Trubisky wasn't the answer. Now you have a guy that you could legitimately believe in will be the answer. Will be the guy. Is a highly thought of quarterback. At one point was projected to be the second quarterback off the board. He ended up being the fourth quarterback off the board. That's where this thing can get ugly. And I wonder how long into the season it's going to take the Bears to realize, oh yeah, we have to play Justin Fields. Because if you start Andy Dalton, how long is Andy Dalton actually going to be the starting quarterback? We'll tell you that in just a second when we do look at the Bears schedule. So, Trace, where's your confidence level We're both in agreement here that he should start week one. When we get into the Bears thinking, where's your confidence level where they make a lot of bad decisions that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy will actually put him on the field come week one?
45%.
Okay, so basically a coin flip.
Yes, but I would trend more towards no than yes. I don't trust them to do the right thing.
And they're giving us mixed signals already. One week, it's all whoever's the best quarterback's going to play. And then you read some other things. Oh, they're going to be patient in their process. It's a lot of mixed signals. Once again, if I'm running the Bears, I'm not even hesitating. Justin Fields on the field week one. That's a tongue twister, by the way. All righty. So I'll give you the Bears schedule. Let's just say they go with Andy Dalton. They start the season off up against the Rams. Then you have the Bengals. Then you're at the Browns and the Lions. So let's say they lose to the Rams. They beat the Bengals. They lose to the Browns. And then they beat the Lions. You know, they could go 2-2. Do I think they're going to start the year off 3-1 with Andy Dalton? No. You're looking at either 2-2 or 1-3. Then after that, what happens if they go 0-4? I would hand the baton over. Even if you're 1-3, I would hand the baton over. Because you know who your opponent is on October 10th? You're going up against the Raiders. Good offense, horrible defense, though. Then after that, you got, and here's where the schedule gets tricky. So let's play it this way. Andy Dalton comes out onto the field and is just firing. He's clicking on all cylinders. Rams, Bengals, Browns, Lions, Raiders. Here's their schedule leading up to the bye. Green Bay, Tampa, 49ers, and the Steelers. So by mid-November at the latest, if they want to be as patient as possible, you won't be able to justify keeping Justin Fields on the sidelines because you have a bye week, and then coming out of the bye, you do go up against Baltimore, but at that point, it's November 21st. Get his butt on the field. And to wrap up the season, they have the Lions, the Cardinals, the Packers, the Vikings, the Seahawks, the Giants, and the Vikings. Here's why, if you start Andy Dalton week one, the earliest I could see him getting on the field, if let's just assume that injuries don't play a factor in here and that Dalton's healthy, he's just not good. I would say the Raiders October 10th. Or maybe even the Lions. They could go the Lions actually October 3rd. Now, Trace, if they start Dalton come week one, bare minimum to you, how many games do you think Andy Dalton gets as the quarterback? Remember, this is the same franchise last year that they let Mitch Trubisky, and they were 2-0, and in the middle part of the third game, that's where they pulled Mitch Trubisky for Nick Foles. So if Dalton is the guy week one, if let's say Nagy and Pace projectile vomit on themselves again, and they go with Andy Dalton and delaying the inevitable, how many games would you expect at a bare minimum that we see Andy Dalton before they even think about pulling the plug?
I'd say bare minimum 4.
Okay, so that means he gets the Rams, the Bengals, the Browns, the Lions, and then that Raiders game.
Yes, I think that's a good target.
Maybe the earliest, if they're 0-3 and it's really bad, you could start in the Lions. You give your quarterback the Lions and the Raiders, those defenses aren't going to keep you up late at night. So maybe it's earlier than what we think. Maybe it's earlier than what we think if Andy Dalton is the guy come week one. Because we were talking about this before the show. We're like, all right, at the absolute latest, it's the bye week. But that's already in the middle of November. Come on, guys. Like, just do the right thing. And I try to say that in life. Just do the right thing. You know when your parents are a little bit concerned about a decision you may make when they send you away to college? Just do the right thing is the talk that you get. So I'll give that talk. I'll be the parent here to the Ryan Pace and also, or I'll be the marriage counselor to the relationship that is Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Guys, do the right thing. Start Justin Fields come week one. Now, when we look at the Patriots, you think Mac Jones should be starting come week one, correct, Amundo?
Yes.
All right. I think he should be too. I don't think he will be. Do you think Mac Jones will be starting come week one?
I do.
Ooh.
I do.
Okay. I don't think he will. If Cam is starting week one, and I think Bill will be a lot more patient than the Bears because Bill's job is not in jeopardy. Hot take right there. I know. Big hot take on a Friday. You know, I'm getting a little bit crazy on this Friday. Dolphins at the Jets. Listen, if Cam is starting come week one, I really don't know, unless if Cam gets hurt or he's just so terrible. The Patriots schedule early on, like get to mid-November, it's not that difficult. Dolphins at the Jets, Saints, Bucks. Bucks are tough. At the Texans, Cowboys, Jets, at the Chargers, at the Panthers. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win all those games. The only game, though, that you're really shaking in your boots for September, October, and then the first week of November is Tampa Bay, right? The Dolphins, they beat week one last year. The Jets have a rookie quarterback who's supposed to be good. The Saints, we don't know what Jameis Winston's going to be. The Buccaneers, tough. The Texans stink. The Cowboys have no defense. You get the Jets again. All right, the Chargers, Herbert. I think they're going to be a good team. But the Chargers sometimes have stinkers. We know that. And then you're at Carolina, who has a lot of offensive talent. We got to see what the defense is. If Cam is the starting quarterback come week one, even though you don't think he should be and you don't think he will be, you do see probably Cam, as long as he's healthy, being on the field at least through that Carolina game, right?
Yes, yes.
Because that schedule, it's not murderer's row.
No, it is not.
After that, you want to hear the rest of the schedule? Cleveland at Atlanta, Tennessee at the Bills, at the Colts, Bills again, Jaguars at the Dolphins. You know, you have a lot of playoff teams from a year ago on that schedule, but when you look at that schedule, if you're someone like me that's arguing that the Patriots are going to be the seventh seed, or they're going to be a wild card team, you could see a path to the playoffs. That schedule is not really tough when I look at it. Like the Bills, okay, you get them twice, but the division games, and the Bills are really good. Cleveland, really good team. Buccaneers, a great team. Other than that, you have a lot of teams that we could talk ourselves into them being good, like Tennessee and the Colts. Dolphins, Cowboys, Saints, like those teams that could be good, but they also may take a step back this year. We'll take a timeout. We come on back. An offensive lineman ate a squirrel. We'll talk about that next, and Ryan Hickey has another bad food take.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.